Vayakel. So, Rabbi Aaron Tendler always does a Parsha Samra. I guess he wrote it years ago, and Torah.org. He says, Rishon and Sheni, we talk about the Mitzvah Shabbos and the penalty for not keeping Shabbos. And it says, Pasuk, Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Vav, he calls it the classic proof of the authenticity of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because it says, Loisavaru Esh Bechol Moish Voiseichem. Do not light any fire in your home. And we're told that, who we're learning today, that Tzidukim, right? They said, oh, if that's the case, we gotta live in black. Total blackout, no light in Shabbos whatsoever, no cooking, no nothing. And we know that it's because we have the Mishnayos and the Gemara that we understand what this means. And as many, many commentators point out, probably most of the Torah wouldn't be understandable unless we had pshat. Moshe then made a request to the people to give their time, their talents and materials for the building of the Mishkan, and Bnei Yisroel responded with the greatest of enthusiasm. Shlishi Revi Chamishi, talk about the people coming forth with their individual abilities and talents. They gave materials, Iber and cup, and Bezalel and Ahaliyav, they were the chief architects and the artists. And Bezalel is translated as that he was in the shade of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He was given the ability to know exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in the existence, in the reality of the Mishkan.
Even more than Moshe.
Right. We're then told about the outer cover. Oh, the other thing we mention again is that this was the only campaign where people were told, stop giving. We can't use it. We know this, as we said last week, there's another unique factor. Nobody could give more. You gave, right? When it came to the Machzis HaShekel, you couldn't give more. And yet, and even though you couldn't give more, I guess when it came to the non-Machzis HaShekel, people compensated and they gave whatever they could. We talk about the outer coverings of the Mishkan. We talk about the various curtain-like items that covered, again, the Mishkan, the beams, spoken about the Aron Kodesh, and the Shulchan, the table. Mishnah Sik.
The curtains and the hooks.
Yeah. And the menorah, then in Shishi and Shvi, the menorah, the Mizbeach HaKetores, the golden altar in which the Ketores was given. They talk about the outside Mizbeach and its ramp, the Kiyor, and the various surrounding enclosures of the Mishkan. That's what Vayakel tells us about. So, Mordechai Kamenetsky says, we read this Parsha, we have the mitzvahs again of building the Mishkan, the task was winding down, and Moshe gives the people the final rules for the monumental task. But before he's going to encapsulate that which is needed, Moshe says to them, Sheikh Yamin Tavoidu, you're only allowed to do malacha 6 days of the week. Ema Shabosh Kodesh. Loisavaru Esh Bachol Moshe Funaifecha. Right? On the seventh day, it's a day it's holy. You cannot light a fire. You can't create any new derivative of fire in your domains on Shabbos. Only after he tells them what the halachas of Shabbos are does he go back to talking about the Mishkan.
Which means that even the holy thing that they have is the Mishkan and the Aron, they're not allowed to do any work
right about
it on Shabbos.
And that's what the Chachamim say. Moshe had the Jewish people, he said, here's the message Hashem wants you to know. The Mishkan is definitely incredibly essential. It brings the Shekhinah back. It's a resting place for the Shekhinah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, notwithstanding, you cannot do anything. Right? You can't do any malach on Shabbos. Shabbos is on a higher level. So, question is, let's think for a minute. Shabbos is paramount. We know we had it in the Aseret HaDibros also, right? But why here do we have this juxtaposition of Shabbos and the Mishkan? If Hashem wants to once again stress the importance, you know, why put it here? As a matter of fact, he says, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, when we have the mitzvah of not lighting fire, right, he says, isn't this somewhat irrelevant to the Mishkan? Well, it's not really, because they burned Ketorah, so I'm not really sure what he's getting at. But he says, I would have thought, if I were the author, I would have a Parsha Shabbos. In other words, let's give it to you straight. So he wants to look some ways as to what it's about. And he tells the following story. A famous Maggid was brought in as a scholar in residence in a modern, prosperous shul. Tremendous trappings, you know, like just the cat's meow. And before he was going to be allowed to speak, the president of the shul says, we've got to talk together so that you don't miss your mark. And he says to the Maggid, our community is distinguished. We cannot offend anyone. You know, we have so many massive givers. I guess we have the Louders and we have God know who else is here, like on the West Side synagogues. And the Maggid noticed that the president was sitting in a richly upholstered leather armchair behind a mahogany desk, and he had one of the biggest, most expensive Cuban cigars in his mouth. And the rabbi and the president said, my dear Rav, you have a reputation worldwide for being an amazing speaker. You are known to inspire people and to get them to get better. And he says, but I would like to know, what are you going to talk about? And so he says, well, I want to talk about the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. That's in this week's Parsha, Vayakel. It's so important. And the president's face turns crimson, and he says, dear Rabbi, in this town, that's not a good idea. He says, many people here work on Shabbos. That's why they have the wealth they do. If you talk about keeping Shabbos, they're just going to get insulted, and they won't listen. So he said, how about a second comment? He said, well, I was going through the town, and I didn't see too many kosher butcher shops for the size of the people. So why don't we talk about upgrading the standards of kashrus? And the president says, that's not going to work either. We haven't had an OU or a CRC butcher in this town for 20 years. And people like it that way. Don't make them feel bad. So he says to the Maggid, you got to have more topics. And he says, well, staka tatzil mimaves. We have the rule that staka protects the Jewish people from death. Tzedakah is always an appropriate thing to talk about. And the president said, come on, do you know how many schnorrers come here from Israel every day? Do you know how many guys in black hats and black coats, etc., come here? He said, we see it day and night. We're sick of it. That's not a good topic. So the Maggid says, okay, what about, he says, I was, right, today's Friday, it took a half hour to get a minyan, let's talk about the importance of coming to davening, right? And he said, no, he says, we only get the big crowds for the holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, if somebody important makes an offer or whatever, a bar mitzvah, you know, he says, the normal Saturday in the week, this is not a highly attended synagogue. The Maggid was totally, totally frustrated. He said, I can't talk about Shabbos. I can't talk about staka or kashrus. What do you want me to talk about? And the president said, Rabbi, what's the big question? Talk about Judaism. And as Rav Lehrfeld said last night, there's a famous comment. We Yidden don't keep Shabbos. Shabbos keeps us. That when we give up Shabbos, we give up Yahadus totally. The concept of Shabbos, right in the middle here, is more important. Everybody understands the notion of the Beis HaMikdash. Even the Reform Jews, they want to tell us the rules around the Kotel. Oh yeah, it's important. I don't know why. They don't keep anything that was ever learned there, right? He said, the only thing that a Yid can do anywhere in the world perfectly, and there are many mitzvahs, but the mark, the fact that Shabbos is there means that for people who keep Shabbos, it's on your mind for a good part of the week. By the time Wednesday comes around, you're thinking, oh, what shopping do we have to do? By the time Tuesday comes around, you've got the invitations from your kids or whatever, so you don't start buying. Shabbos is an ever-present mitzvah and awareness. And that's what we need. A Yid must remember, without Shabbos, and of course, without kashrus, without davening, right, and without tefillah, Judaism is nothing more than Reform Judaism, which we see doesn't last. All they produce are goyim. Now my friend writes, he says, I'm going to give you a vort from the Sefer Nachlas Eliezer that was written by Harav Eliezer Kohn, who was a mashkiach in the Gateshead base medrash. It says, and I guess it's Bezalel. He filled him with the spirit of Elohim, with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and with every craft. He says, the Medrash, according to the pshat of the Eitz Yosef, notes that the verb vamala means he filled him up. And my friend says, filling something up implies there's something there to start. There's a little bit of liquid in the keli or whatever. And now it's getting to the full capacity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm giving Bezalel more wisdom because he was already wise. He had already spent time trying to develop his wisdom, right? His avodas Hashem. Hashem gives wisdom to people who are already chachamim, wise people. The pasuk in Kisisa says, right? Hashem says, and in the heart of every wise of heart I gave wisdom, meaning that they were able to come and do the work of the Mikdash. He says, let's stop. We might ask, if somebody is already a Chacham Lev, wise of heart, what if he need God's gift of wisdom? And he says, the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives wisdom to people who are already on the level of being a Chacham. He quotes a Medrash that a woman matron asked Rav Yossi ben Chalavta about a pasuk in Daniel. It seems amazing that these people knew these things in those days. And the pasuk says, Hashem gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who know how to reason. And she said, what's God doing? I thought he knew what he was doing. Why would you give wisdom to the wise? He should give it to the fools and make them smarter. They need it. Rav Yossi ben Chalavta said, my daughter, he said, two people come to you to borrow money. They need money. One is a well-to-do fellow of means and a poor man. Who would you lend money to? She said, I would lend it to the person with means, because if he loses the money of the loan, at least he's got assets to make it good, right? If I lend it to the other guy, he could lose it, and there's no collateral. What would happen? It's a bad investment. And Rav Yossi ben Chalavta said, let your own ears listen to what you said. So with wisdom, if Hashem would give wisdom to fools, they would waste it in taverns and in foolish pleasures. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to the wise, who will take it. They'll sit in the shuls, they'll sit in the bate midrash, they'll sit in the committees to help schools, to help the needy, etc. They'll use their wisdom for the good of the Jewish nation. My friend goes on and he says, isn't the Medrash comparing apples to oranges? It's true that I would rather lend money to someone with assets. But if I'm giving it away, I'm giving money away, which is what, right? Or if I'm giving away wisdom, obviously a poor person needs it more, right? Than a rich person. He says, lending money in a business deal, you want to make sure there's collateral. But this is not what the pasuk is saying. The pasuk is talking about giving wisdom to the wise. It's a matana, a present. So if it's a gift, why can't it be given to the fool? He says, the Nachlas Eliezer says, we're missing the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to the wise. And it's not really a gift. It is a loan. A person who has true chachma, wisdom, understands that the wisdom he has is not really his. It's on loan. It's talent on loan from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. When a person realizes that it's only a loan, he guards it more carefully. He says, it's not mine, it's on lease, because I'm going to have to account for it one day. It's like driving your neighbor's car. You're trying to be careful. You don't ever want to get a dent. Your own car, sure, you don't want it, but it's less of an agmas nefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give totally, absolutely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides assets. He provides things to human beings to use. Therefore, Chachamim are obviously the appropriate recipients of wisdom. They know that this Chachma is a loan, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take back one day, and they will be judged how they used it. A fool would think it's a gift, and if I squander a gift, farfallen. Yeah. I'd come to easy here, what do they think? Here today, gone tomorrow.
Easy come, easy go.
Easy come, easy go. And we know that we had the same message as well. Pesach is coming, and we know that when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, Hashem said to the Jewish people, borrow from your friend.
Please borrow. No.
The Jews knew they weren't coming back. Who were they borrowing from? What's this borrowing? And the answer is, Moshe said to them, this asset that you're borrowing, the Mitzri is an agent. He received it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever you're taking, you're borrowing from the Almighty, and you're going to have to account for how you used it. And my friend concludes by saying, we see the degree of responsibility we all have to have when we use our talents, and how important it is to use them appropriately. Okay, I'm going to stop early here because the next word that I have is too long to do in 3 or 4 minutes.
Good. Okay. Very good.